Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim brought to you by Ben Chamot Yerushalayim is daf Kuf Tet. And just to remind you once again, we can actually start from Kuf Tet on the Beit just to review it. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, we do not give the arba kosot to tinokot. Ma toilet yesh tinokot b'yayin. Rather, elo mechalkim lehem kloyot ve'gozim. What we do is we hand out various things like popcorn on Erev Pesach. Now, that makes absolutely no sense because, as we spoke about yesterday, Erev Pesach is not the time that we need to hand it out to them. We hand it out to them at the Seder. And in fact, the Digduke Sofrim brings that all of the Kitvei Yad that he has seen of the Shas did not have these words, Barvei Pesach, because it really doesn't make any sense at all. And Vahaloch, obviously, you're machalik this at the actual Seder. And we do this in order that they not sleep and they ask about the weird minhagim that we have. Omrulav Rabbi Akiva, Shaya Machalik, Layot Vegazin, Latinokot, Barvei Pesach. They say that Rabbi Akiva used to do this. Now, it could be that over here, there's no report about a change in the gears, and this may be why the question came up, why the confusion came up, because it's possible Rabbi Akiva would give out to kids in the neighborhood. That name was Michalik at his own table. But in other words, in order to provide the halachic basis, everybody should be aware of the fact that kids need to have, you need to be supplied with plenty of candy and toffee at your table, that you could throw out to the kids. Rabbi Akiva actually used to go around and provide it to the kids so they would have it for later. So maybe because of that, there was a mistake when they copied the Gemara. They thought that it meant Barvei Pesach, that the person should give it out to his own family, which makes no sense at all. What were you asking?
I was wondering, sometimes Erev means the night of.
But here it's so consistent that, I mean, Arvei Pesachim, you know, Kodim Chatzot, all of a sudden we're talking about Arvei Pesachim in a different way.
In Arvei Pesachim.
And I mean, Rabbi Akiva certainly wasn't running around, you know, during the Seder. So, okay. Kedei Shelo Yishnu and Yishalu. Now, this Yishalu could be Yishalu about the very fact that we're handing it out to them. See, as we're going to see later on, there is actually a machloket, as we'll get to towards the end of the perek, about whether she'elah on any of the changes is considered to be a p'tur from the manishtana, or whether yishalu means to be led to the manishtana, whether yishalu means to when they see the things that are meant to trigger the manishtana, like the tefillah and so on and so on, that then they will ask. This is very important, understanding what the whole issue of the question is anyway, but we'll get to that later. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Chotvin Matzot B'Leilei Pesachim B'Shvil Tinokot Shelo Yishnu. What we do is we grab the matzot, and this is the reason we do this, is once again for the children, once we're talking about the Tinokot, so then we have the additional halachot v'matzot. Some do not have the girsan that Bach brings, that Shelo Yishnu is not what is meant over here. Why? Because one of the pirushim of chotvin matzot is that we take away the table. Taking away the table has nothing to do with not sleeping. It has to do with, what's going on? What are you doing? Which is meant to catalyze a question. However, other inyanim of chotvin matzot are more similar to the din of the tinokot, specifically not sheyishalu, but rather shelo yishnu, and that's this girsa. And that is, as the Rashbam brings, the pirish that there was not for a heker l'tinokot, but simply to make sure that they don't eat. So if you leave food in front of the kids, they're going to start munching. If they start munching, they're going to fall asleep. And because of that, they will end up not asking. So chotvim matzot is a lot of chotvim, like go sleep, steal it from them, take it away. Okay, various different pirushim, but in any event, basically, we do all of this. In the sense, as we pick up the kara, that's one of the meaning of the chotvin. We take up the kara. Some have the gears of chotvin mitzvot, because the kara has not only matzah, there's matzah and more, and so on and so forth, to show them what the mitzvot halayla are going to be. And others have to do directly, other Pirushim have to do directly with the Sheina to see to it that they don't have too much to eat and that will keep them busy. Continues the Gemara. Indeed, Amru Alav, Rabbi Akiva, Miyamav lo Amar Igi Ait La'amod B'Beit HaMidrash Chutz Mi'Arvei Psachim Ve'Erev Yom HaKippurim. There were only two times a year when he would ever say to people, encourage them to go home and leave the Beit HaMidrash. One was Erev Pesach, and that was Bishvil HaTinokot Kedei Shelo Yishnu. He wanted people to get home early and make sure that their kids take a nap. That's how the Rashbam brings it. If they're not going to be home early, they're never going to get the kids to sleep, in which case they're going to be there too late. Or it could be if they would stay around too late. The other parishes stay around too late, then they're going to start the Seder late. So when everything completed during the day, start the Seder as quickly as possible. And in either Pirush, obviously, fits into the Gemara we were saying before, more towards the Kedei Shelo Yishnu. That's the point. We're worried about them sleeping, and therefore the Rashbam brings this as a raya to that Giras of the Lo Yishnu, that must be the point, because it ties directly into the mice of Rabbi Akiva. The other time that he would say it's time to leave the Beit HaMidrash was Erev Yom Kippur, and the reason for that, to see to it, since we have the fee of the eating on Yom Kippur, and Kolaicha v'sheisev b'chim alal v'kasov kiilu yitanat she'iv v'yasiri, you want to make sure that you get home and see to it that the family eats, even though you yourself, Lamaisa, could bring along sandwiches to the Beis HaMidrash. You don't have to go home. But he wanted people to go home and see to it that the whole family was involved in eating on Erev Yom Kippur, and that they should be prepared for the Ta'anit and not come and all try to brush in everything at the Sudam of Sekas right as you get home, and then not really have a good fast. Now, you've seen that we've had already a pattern here from the beginning of the sugya when we started talking about yayin for nashim, for tinokot, and then earlier we were talking about, is there a chovav yayin as opposed to cheirus? So one of the things was yayin, meaning the simchas yontav in yayin. As Tosas explained, maybe we linked the two, that we're only going to be yotz in the mitzvah of simcha if you have the arba, etc., etc. But there's been a strange touching of two sugyas that seem on the surface to be completely non-related, which is the chi of the arba kosot, the terms of the mitzvah, the general dimas simchas yontav. We suddenly get, where it takes us for granted, that we need to explore, therefore, the dinim of Simchas Yontav. So what, when we were talking about the appropriateness, this is what Rabbi Yehuda said, well, it's inappropriate. What are they going to get out of it? Is what they're going to get out of it important? Mato elet? I mean, if it's a mitzvah, which of course leads us to say that, well, we can't be talking about a tinok that you're chayav to mimchanechim, then it has nothing to do with what will you get out of it. So we're talking about a tinok that is still young. So you need to do something for him that will make him happy. That leads us already to talk about, okay, what could you do for the family in general? What would you do for your wife? So chayav adam l'sameach banav uvnei beito b'regel shenemar v'samachta b'chagecha. There's a general chiyav of simcha on yantav. Forget about the arba kasot particularly. Now, b'ma m'samcha, what is that ikar chiyav of simcha, says the Tanakama, b'yayin. Rabbi Yehuda says, once again, the chiyuv of simcha is defined by the individual and the appropriateness of the simcha for him. Anashim bara ulahem. Yeah, it's all very nice to say that men would enjoy a good glass of wine, but don't you think women would generally enjoy a beautiful dress better than a good glass of wine? So anashim b'mai, the bara ulahem, Tani Rav Yosef. Well, in Bavel, where they wear beautiful colored clothing, they didn't discover frumkite yet in those days where everybody had to wear black, so they would use big day tzivonim, colored clothes, buy a beautiful colored dress, and you know, give your wife some pleasure on Yontif. In Eretz Yisrael, they used to love big day pishtan megohatzim, very classy, well pleated and ironed linen. Now, linen is very hard to maintain, and yet linen in Bavel was much more the standard to wear because of the heat and so on. They wore linen. This the Gemara says all the time that linen is found more in Bavel than Eretz Yisrael. So why does it say in Eretz Yisrael linen? So those who point Tosfos points out that in Bavel they didn't know how to do the giyutz properly. And this is lahalacha, because we know that when it comes to the iser, days which are usher in giyutz, but are mutter in kibbutz. So Bavel is not considered to even have a sense of how to do giyutz. Giyutz is not what we call giyutz, it's an entire process in which you come out, maybe it's the whole, you know, sort of the dry cleaning process. When you come out, the beget looks perfect. They didn't know how to do that in Bavel. And because of that, their linen was not, you know, it looked like a linen suit does when it isn't properly cared for. It gets very, very creased. And it's not something that gives you a sense of simcha looking at Eretz Yisrael. They had big day pishle meguatzim. Tanya Reb Yudah ben Beteira Omer, all of this discussion is only bizman hazeh, because bizman shebet hamikdash kayam, the Torah defines the nature of simcha. Ein simcha ela bebasar. The Torah tells us that the only thing that counts as true simchat yom tov is dafka, the basar of shlamim. And in fact, there is a loshen in the Gemara that has not basar but basar shlamim that Rashi brings elsewhere. Shenemar v'zavachta shlamim v'achalta sham v'samachta l'fnei Hashem Elokech. So this points to a very fascinating interrelationship between the context of the significance of the achila and the actual achila. In other words, according to this, simply eating meat is not a simcha. It's eating meat that gives you a sense of connection, which is what shlamim is all about. That's what's called shlamim. Oh, God. That is not simcha. That is absolutely guaranteed. So that is considered to be simcha, because it says eating there in Yerushalayim, that's the mitzvah of simcha. But achshav she'in beit hamikdash kayam, if you don't have the option of eating shlamim, so then what are you going to be yotzi with? You can only be yotzi with ein simcha ela b'yayin, shenemar v'yayin yisamach levav enosh. So wine gives you a high, the way that eating in the Beis HaMikdash gives you a high. Of course, it interrelates the idea of the Nisach HaYayin and the idea of Mesameach Elohim the Anashim, Imadam Mesamcho, what's the, that's Shira, and that idea of singing with wine, Leil Iskadesh Chag, all of the other elements of Simcha, which are the more, shall we say, mind-oriented aspects of Simcha. Playing with your mind, as opposed to just the eating. The normal eating of the meat of shlamim is the equivalent, in a sense, of that. It's an amazing interrelationship of things that people would generally see as being very, very different issues. Let me just get up and close that door. It's my problem. Closing the door. It's just so sad how people cannot achieve simcha without this awful kavod. It's mamash what the shiur was about last night.
You just did.
Huh?
Ra'oi lahem.
Ra'oi lahem, yeah. You're right. I just don't know whether it even counts. Okay, so yayin. Omri b'yitzchak. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, let us get back to the beginning of the sugya. Beginning of the sugya, we were talking about Hari Yotzei the Chiyuv of the Arba Kosot. We talk about a revius of Yayin Chai for all four Kosot, which can then be Mamazet, three parts water, one part wine, which gives you the full lug, each one of which equals a revius halug, and so on and so forth. But how big is that? But do we have any system of reference for us to measure a lug? It's all, you know, for all intents and purposes, we are aliens. I mean, well, what do we know about a lug? It's like talking to somebody who lives in a different galaxy and telling you, well, just take a lug, you know, you're out of your mind. Well, what is a lug? Oh, says the Gemara that we do have references to what the lug is. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, the kast, de murisa, davi bitzipori, the, what they used to call the morisa was a dip that they used to use with fish brine, a little bit, basically like schmaltz herring. And they would sell this in a container, a standardized container that was called the kasta. That kasta de morisa that they used in Tzipori actually was the exact equivalent of the Lugin the Beis HaMikdash, because it was there yet from the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So they knew that this was the Shir of Lug. And that, taking one quarter of that, was the way in which they used to use the measurement for the Revi'is HaLug of Pesach. It's actually a shita that Rashi brings of the Vizrabim, which the Revi'is is not the Revi'is of the Lug. It's the Revi'is HaKav, God help us, which is the Lug. Which means that each course would have to be a full Lug, which might even look as big as the Revi'is of the Chazon Ish, you know that. And therefore, when it says the Casa de Murisa, it's actually referring to it's actually referring to the full coast. This one Casa de Murisa was one of the Arba Kosos. So thank heavens we don't pass like that. So it means all four Kosos would go into the Lug of the Casa de Murisa. Omer Yochanan, there was another very, very excellent and convenient way of measuring the Lug. I'll tell you. The Tamnon, which was a shear that was very common in Tveria. So it was the Tamniyata, the Tamna, the old Tamniyata, the original Tamniyata that they used to use in Tveria, is actually precisely one Revi'is larger than the current Tamna. And if that means that if you would take an old Tamna that you got lying around, fill it up, pour it out into the new Tamna, what is left is exactly a Revi'is. And then that's an easy way. They used to use in Tveria, they used to use that as the way to measure the Revi'is of it. Okay, but look, I mean, you know, we've got to get a little bit more universal than that. Well, if you make the cheshbon, it's very easy to figure out the standard measurements. The standard measurements are, as we talk about, amas. Why amas? Because amas are part of your anatomy. And our assumption is that that doesn't change much over time. An etzba is part of your anatomy. That's why you see with feet, 1 foot. So 1 foot, one ama, one etzba. These are things that are standard enough that anybody in any place can take 100 people, measure the size of their amas and so on, average it out, and get the standard ama. That's the best way for us to figure it out. And it's very clear what the shear is. And I'll show you, says Reb Chisda. The Revi'is Shel Torah is actually constructed by a container that would be 2 etzpaot by 2 etzpaot square, and exactly 2 etzpaot plus a half an etzpa plus a fifth of an etzpa high. And it's very easy to see this. I'll prove it to you. Kidetanya, like it says, v'rachatz b'mayim et kol b'sara. Right? So now, the fact that you have to be in a mikvah that contains kol b'sara, let's take a look at that pasuk. That means your flesh has to come directly into contact with the water, right? Okay, fine, these are drushes that are not negar, so yeah, but let's just go through that. You can't have a bandage on, so lo yeh davar chotzeitz ben b'sara l'mayim. But it doesn't say bimayim, it says bamayim. Now that means it has to be particularized water, and that's be mikvah. It has to be water that's kosher. You can't just turn on your faucet, put it into a bathtub, and consider that to be a mikvah. And it has to be kol b'soro. What does that mean? If I know you can't have a chatzitza, obviously kol b'soro. It has to be a simultaneous immersion of your entire body. That's what it means. So mayim shekol gufo ole b'hem. Now, figure, how much is that? V'kamayim. If you figure the normal, once again, we're talking about norms over here. So then the norm, you would have to have enough for a person to fit in, which would mean it would need to be 1 amma by 1 amma, and it would need to be 3 amotar. And that way you could fit into it all at one time. Now, obviously, you don't literally need for every mikveh to be that shape. You need to get into that amount of water. That's telling you a volume. Okay, now, that volume, the Chachamim Umer Mishayer, and that volume equals precisely 40 saw. Once you see that, I mean, you obviously immediately see that I'm right. That the lug would therefore, by definition, be the exact amount that I told you before. It would be clearly the two etzpa'ot by two etzpa'ot by the height of two etzpa'ot and a half an etzpa and a fifth of an etzpa. Any idiot can see that, right? Follows directly. Now, of course, their powers of visualization and immediacy were a bit more sophisticated than our own. So let us see what Rav Chisda thinks is immediately apparent by working out the details. Now, it happens to be that there is a beautiful... I didn't know that you would be here, so I brought one of these charts. Now, the chart is... Oh, pass it around. No, pass it around. If you take a look at this chart, it's very, very well done. Really, I'm very impressed. So what we do is we take the mikveh, okay? Take the mikveh, and I'm going to put this up online so people can see it, but just listen, because if you listen, you'll see the solution right away. Take your three amot high, okay? So if you take your three amot high, in order to make this work out, the most simple way is split those three amot high into etzba'ot, okay? Into tvachim. We're going to get to etzba'ot. We don't have to start with etzba'ot. Split it into tvachim. Now, three amot, of course, by definition, times six equals 18 tvachim, which means that you could have a slice of an ama by an ama, and then we could slice the whole thing into 18 parts of a tefa. But we don't want to do that, because in order to get to the size precisely of a lug, and how are we going to do that? By figuring how many lugs there are going to be in the Zarbo himself, you see. So what we do is we slice it 18 tvachim into 16 pieces. And it will soon become apparent why that is the most convenient way of doing it. If we slice it into 16 pieces, then what happens is if you divide 16 into 40, you end up with 2.5 saw in each slice. So each slice of an ama by an ama by, which now turns out to be, interestingly, a tefach with a chatzi etzba, which, let's translate that into chomesh etzbas. Right? In other words, we have 18 pieces that have to fit into 16 pieces. So we had 18 tefachim, now have to fit into 16. So we have a tefach, and in order to make up for the missing two parts, we're going to need another chatzi etzba in each one of these 16 parts to make up for the two missing parts. All right, so we're going to end up with an additional 2 out of the 16, which is exactly what's missing. 18 is missing. If we add a chatzi etzba to every one of those 16, we're going to get 8. 8 etzbaot is in the other missing 2 tefachim. So not 16 equal 18, correct? Everything is clean. So we have basically 16 slices that are one ama, because we took the mikveh, we cut it to 16 slices. One ama by one ama by one tefach plus an additional chatzi etzba to make up for the two missing tefachim. So far, everything is clean. That amount will hold 2.5 saw. Now, we don't want 2.5 saw because we want to get closer to the size that we need that will allow us to create a lug, you see. And in order to do that, what we want to do is we want to get to a saw and a half. And that's going to allow us to cut it up into lugim. In order to get a saw and a half instead of 2.5 saw, what we want to do is take our piece. Now that piece that we had, let's turn it into something that is easily sliceable. What's easily sliceable is putting everything into fifths of an etzba. So now our 4 etzbot, which is the tefach, equals 20 fifths of an etzba. We had an additional chatzi etzba, which is 2/5 of the, if we had the chatzi etzba is going to be 2.5, which gives us 22.5. If each etzba by definition is 5, then a chatzi etzba, of course, is 2.5. So that equals 22.5 fifth etzbaot in every slice. Tefach by 22.5. But we don't want 22.5. What we want is 3/5 of this, because we have 2.5 saw that needs to be reduced to a saw mechza, which is saw mechza is 3/5 of the 2.5. And we'll soon see why we want to get that. But it's very easy for us to have this sliced into 5 pieces. If we take off 3 out of the 5 pieces, how many etzba'ot in height are still left? Well, we had 22.5. We're going to take off 3/5 of it. We're left now with 13.5. So we now have a slice of an amma by an amma by the 13.5/5, which is going to equal a saw and a half. Now, that is actually very convenient. Why? Because now if we split that piece that we have into tvachim, okay, so now an amma cuts into 6 slices. We got 6 slices across our square. Okay? Oh, now we could cut 6 slices the other way, and we're going to get 6 by 6. Now, 6 by 6 is very, very nice, because it happens to be that there are 36 lug precisely in the saw umechza that we had. Now, what we now have done, if we've managed to create slices of a lug, now all we have to do is slice the lug into 4 parts in order for us to get to the shear of the Rias Haluk, you see. So if we've got 36 chalakim, since each saw is 6 kav, and we've got a saw and a half, as we just split it into, which equals, of course, an additional 3. 6 plus half is 3 plus 6 equals 9. So we're left with 9 kav, but each kav is 4 lug, which gives us 36. That's perfect. So 36 lug is in each one of our pieces, which we've now cut into 36 pieces, which by definition is here broken up to in these tvachim. So we've now got ourselves with 36 of these tvachim, tefach by tefach things. 36 lug. Each one is a tefach by a tefach by 2 etzba'ot and a half of an etzba. And a chomesh of an etzba. Perfect. If we want to turn that into a revias, we need to take that tefach and turn it into etzbaot, right? Okay, so how many etzbaot are we going to get if we cut one square into 4 parts? Well, each one of these tefachs is 4 etzbaot by 4 etzbaot by definition. If we're going to cut that square into 4 parts, we're going to be left with 2 etzba'ot by 2 etzba'ot. And we've already shown that it's 2 etzba'ot, half an etzba, and a chomish of an etzba, which is exactly 13.5/5, which we came out to in the first place, where we wanted to get the solo mechza that allows us the 9 kav, which allows us the 36 lug. So we now, says Rav Chista, I mean, any idiot, the moment I told you it equals 40 saw, it was evident that if you've got 2 etzbaot by 2 etzbaot by the 13.5/5, which are 2 etzbaot and a chatz b'etzba and a chomish etzba, I mean, a 2-year-old can see that. So that's why I say that's the shear. It's clearly indicated by the size of a mikvah. That's beautiful.
The minimum size.
What do you mean minimum size? That's the size. There's no minimum size. That is the size. Huh?
40.
Yeah, that's the size of the mikveh. Yeah, of course. Oh, you mean the mikveh? Make the mikveh as big as you want. Sure. The Gemara doesn't bother explaining this. It was so evident. You understand? So everybody.
Steins has twice in his notes here. Mm-hmm. The calculations of the Rashman and Tosot are complex.
No, but they aren't. That's the thing. They really aren't. And that's what Rav Chista is trying to point out. If you, that's why he uses this absurd measurement system. What do you mean? Etzba, chatzi etzba, chomesh etzba. Are you crazy? Because this is visually instantly apparent when you visualize it in your head. Mashenka, if you'd start talking about any other system of measurements, there would be no way for me to translate the 36 into 36, which is what makes it so simple, you see. And the etzvahs and the tefachs and so on. I mean, this is perfect. So once he said it that way, and you think about it as he's saying it, he's saying, well, why? Oh, of course. So then you see exactly what he's saying. It's really lovely. Okay.
The printers they have now that something.
The three-dimensional printer. So yeah, that's right. You could actually make one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's only to people of limited imagination who require all of that, you know. Alrighty. Lovely. I'm Rav Ashi. You know, Ravin Bar Chinana told me that the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash must have been made out of Legos. Shoprakim have. Well, obviously, it was expensive Lego because of the things that the Shulchan needs to be made of, you know. But clearly, it must have been. What is the word in English for something that can be disassembled? Shoprakim. Is there a word? It's like I can't.
It must be a word.
Right, but what is it? It's got to be. Anyway, it could obviously be disassembled and clicked back together again. Because otherwise, how could they put it into a mikveh? Because the shear of the mikveh in the Beit HaMikdash, as we've seen in all of the sugyas of the Beit HaMikdash, was precisely an amma by an amma by three ammas, exactly like this. Then how could you fit in the shulchan, which was an amma, into a mikveh, which is an amma? You can't fit something the size of an amma into the amma because you run up against the molecular friction. But what am I going to do? I can't get it in. And therefore, must have been that they could have taken it apart. So if you unscrew the legs of the shulchan, then you could stick everything in separately because you the top of the shulchan obviously couldn't have been separate pieces, but the top of the shulchan I could have fit in on its side because then I have the diagonal. It's easy to fit that in its side. But if the legs are attached, it's only for me to get it in on its side. But this way, it works out very well.
Why does the mikveh have to be limited size?
That is a problem that has no very clear solution. The mikveh was a limited size, Tosfos explains. In Yuma, it was a limited size because they used the amma, which was a mayan for. It was mechuber initially to mayan, then they would close it and so on. So it needed to be an amma. They didn't want to be mitzamtzim the azor, so they kept it as an amma. Okay? Others, I mean, I don't understand the logic in it, but others say it was made in that shape so the Kohen Gadol could sort of jump right in why they couldn't make it an amma and an etzba, I have no idea. And basically, it would mean you'd have to go on a diet in order to be the Kohen Gadol. And I would start now because there isn't much time.
This is
the Beit HaMikdash we're talking about.
The table was different than the Beit HaMikdash.
No, must have been they designed it this way from the beginning. So see, I understand. Why did you have to put it into that mikveh? You could have thrown it into the Yom Shel Shlomo. The Yom Shel Shlomo held 150 mikvehs in it, right? I think that's big enough to fit the Shulchan in. And even though you say, Yom Shel Shlomo isn't the Mayim Shuvim, no, it's not Mayim Shuvim. Why? Because the Yom Shel Shlomo was mechuber to a Mayan. And that way, it wouldn't become the mind wouldn't become shuvim in it. So therefore, you could have just thrown it in there, and who cares? It's gigantic. I don't understand what he was trying to say. Anyway, moving on to the next part, Arba Kosot, Rabbanon Metakein 4. So how could the Rabbanon be Metakein 4? Eichin Metakenei Rabbanon Midi Da'ati Beli De Sakana. The Rabbanon would make a takana to drink 4 kosot. When we know that pears are dangerous, Vatanya, lo yochal adam trei, you shouldn't eat things by two. Lo yishte trei, you shouldn't drink things by two. Lo yikaneach trei in the bathroom by two. Lo yaseh tzrachav trei, you shouldn't have two sexual relations, two acts of intercourse, one after the other. So he says what seems to be saying. On Rav Nachman, it's not a problem. Because the whole idea of Lil Pesach is the Torah tells us Leil Shimurim Lehotziyam Eretz Mitzrayim Alayla Zeh Leil Shimurim Lechol Bnei Yisrael Ledorotam means that there is a special Shmira on this night from Laila HaMishumar Uba Minam Azikim. You can always rely on this night to actually not worry about the hexes. It's not a problem. Rava Amar Rava says that on any night a Kos Shel Bracha cannot be a problem. So if you've had two You want to drink, oh my gosh, I drank two cups, better drink a third cup. The third cup could be your kosher bracha. On the other hand, if the kosher bracha is your second cup, it's not mitzarev to create a zug. So it's only good. A bracha es mein kind. Drink
is
mitzarev letova, yeah. And it's not mitzarev lera'a. Ravina says, no, that isn't the point. The point is that it's a mistake to think that the arba kosot are a unit, a set of arba kosot. The part that is a set is the fact that four equals cherus. Because at that point, like, who does that kind of thing? You have that much wine. Okay, somebody's a ben chori. But the specific mitzvah of each kos, as opposed to the cherus that emerges from the interrelationship of these kosot, is a separate mitzvah. So it's derech cherut, true, but kol chad v'chad is a mitzvah ba'apinavshu. Each one of them is a separate mitzvah, and therefore they cannot be mitzarev to create a problem of zugot at all. Hey, by the way, I don't understand what it means when it says don't have intercourse twice. How in the world could you possibly have intercourse twice without it being nimlach? Lo yasetz rachav trei. Am I nimlachu? By definition, there is nothing that is more nimlach. We saw before nimlach legabi brocha. Well, I've only now decided. Right? In other words, I thought I was finished. Everybody's finished after intercourse. Now the question is, you want to get turned on again? That's a new, completely unrelated act. And therefore, it should not be mitzarev by definition. So you're always a nimlach. Amar Abaye, we misunderstood the entire meaning of that piece. It was not that we had trei on lo yaseh trachav. It was that don't eat two things. Don't drink two things. And if you do, then don't have intercourse unless you want to get a heart attack. So lo yaseh trachav afil pa'am achat. Because d'machole shumitra, you don't want to put yourself in a matzav of sakana, having opened yourself up to zugot, the dangers of mazikin. Of course, those mazikin begin with intercourse. There's a whole issue of the back in Gan Eden with Adam Rishon as being mad, and the lilit and so on. We'll see later on. So therefore, the worst thing you possibly do to yourself is put yourself in a matzav of being osetrachav even once. Has nothing to do with nimlach. Question is there a simcha bebasar? The Rambam brings ein simcha ela bebasar, ein simcha ela beyayin. That's a machlokas achronim. How to understand the Rambam? Is he saying there's two different dinim? Ein simcha ela bebasar, meaning if you have basar shlomim, and ein simcha ela beyayin if you don't have? Or is he saying that, of course, basar is taken for granted, that you need to have basar because otherwise the yayin doesn't have what to be taifas on? The ikar simcha is the sa'uda, the yayin as part of a sa'uda, not sitting on drinking stam wine. Okay? But in any event, the Rambam, that's where it comes from, the overall ein simcha ela bebasar u beyayin. Because over here, as the Beis Yosef asks on him, it says there's no baser shlomim, then it's beyayin. It doesn't say baser stam and beyayin. Tanya Rebbe Eliezer Omer chotvin matzot, or some have chotvin mitzvot, velele psachim bishvil tinokot shelo yishanu. Tanya omru alav al Rebbe Akiva miyamav lo higia et lo amar higia et lamod bebet hamidrash chutz miarvei psachim. Ve'erev Yom HaKippurim. Be'arvei Pesachim b'shvil tinokot, k'dei shelo yishnu. Erev Yom HaKippurim was b'k'dei she'achilu et b'neihem. Tanu Rabban. Chayav adam l'sameach b'nav v'nei b'ito b'regel sh'nemar v'samachta b'chagecha. B'ma m'samchim otom? Well, b'yayin. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, what do we mean behind the same Rabbi Rashita we had before? It has to be appropriate. It's Anashim Barot Ulahen. Nashim Barot Ulahen. And Anashim Barot Ulahen means Beyayin, yes, but Nashim. Don't you think it would be more appropriate? B'mai, Tanu Rav Yosef. Well, in Bavel, B'bigdei Tzivonim, Beretz Yisrael, B'bigdei Pishtan Megoatzim, both of which, of course, would be outlawed 100% by modern standards of Tzniut. Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, בזמן שבית המקדש קיים, אין שמחה לבבשר, אז בפרש וזברת שלמים, ואכלת שם ושמחת לפני השם אלוקיך. אבל עכשיו שאין בית המקדש קיים, אין שמחה אלא ביין, שנאמר ויין ישמח לבב אנוש. שנאמר ויין ישמח לבב אנוש. אומר רבי יצחק, קסת דמוריסת, אבי בציפורי, יהיה כמין לוגה דמקדשה, ובו משארים אבית של פסח, and of course that must be the mocker of eating herring at a kiddush, because you needed to have the kasa demorita, demorita, and that way you would know that you were yotzer kiddush with your revius aluga. So, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, tamanyata kadmayata, davi bitveria, was exactly one revius larger than the current one that I'm holding in my hand, avietera alda riva, and that's the easiest way to get yourself a revius, ubo misharim revius shel pesach. Fill it up, pour it out, whatever is left, pour it out into the new one, whatever is left is revius. Omer Rav Chista, revius shel Torah is etzba'ayim al etzba'ayim, brum etzba'ayim, plus chatzi etzba v'chomesh etzba. And that way it's clear, it's 13 and a half fifths, kidatanya. V'rachatz b'mayim et kol b'saro, shelo yedavar chotzeitz bein b'saro l'mayim. Ma'amayim is b'mei mikvet kol b'saro, this is the part that's important to us, mayim shekol gufo olebehen. And how much was that? That's an amala ama brum shalosh amot. And the Chachamim said that equals the shir mei mikveh is arbo himself. So now you see clearly why the 2x2 by the 13 and a half fifths is exactly a revius haluk. Ha, brilliant, aren't it? Omer Avashi, Omer Ravim Bachinen, Ashulchan shal mikdash shal prokim havi. Because, I mean, if it was a solid piece, you couldn't remove parts. How in the world could they be tevel the mikveh? We already saw that the Shulchan is Shayach to Kabbalah Stuma, which is a whole discussion, Ha Shulchan HaTahor, Mechlashi Tameh, Ve'echim et Havyala. Who says you have to stick it into a mikveh mitzumtzum? Well, you can't throw it into the Yamshas or Shlomo of the Matvele. The Tony Rebbe here, Yamshas or Shlomo was Matzik Neva Chamishi Mikveh Taira, and it was Koshal Otvil, the Chubba to the Maya. V'lo yifutu to lo mi arba akosot, Eichem itakim rabbanu midi dati b'lo yitei sakana. V'atani lo yochal adam tre, lo yishte tre, lo yikne tre, lo yikneach tre, lo yatze trachav tre. On Rav Nachman, it's because of Rav Nachman Rav Shimurimu. Leo Meshum Rav Min HaMazikim. Rav Amar never is Korsho Brochum Mitztarif L'ra. It's only Mitztarif L'tova, Veinu Mitztarif L'ra. Ravina Amar, where were they attacking it? Dover Tzatzim Yitei Sakana. The Arba Kosot is because the four is what makes the whole derech to be a derech herut, but each one is a mitzvah b'api nafshu. By the way, what's a shayach to say lo yasat trachav trei? Isn't by definition osat trachav always going to be a nimlach? In which case, there's no tziruf for the zug. Omer Abaya, correct. Avikoma lo yochal trei or yishte trei, and if he did lo yasat trachav afilu pa'amachat. I don't know where we'd be without him. Honestly, I'm telling you, this thing that they said about him, you know, it was a profound understanding that you cannot live without this. They got to a point that simply people lost track of what's going on in the Torah. And it's the power of his framework for like what the whole thing means, putting it all together. And that's why he calls it Mishnah Torah. That's the point. It's a mission, it's a structure, it's a whole... It would be helpful. Where are we up to? Good test. Tanya, we're up to the fourth line. We did Rabbi Akiva, yeah. Right? Yeah. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer and Daf Kuftes. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Chotvin Matzot Velele Psachim, Beshvil Tinokot Shelo Yishnu. There's a lot of Pirush about Chotvin Matzot. Because the Chotvin Matzot has turned out to be our minag to have the kids chase the Afikom and keep them up all night. the original meaning of Chotvin Matzot could mean either we take away the meal, which is the meaning of taking away the Ka'ara, or, very interesting shot, Chotvin Matzot, we don't let the kids eat very much. Because if they eat, they get tired and they fall asleep. So we grab the food out of their hands to make sure that they don't fall asleep. It's completely different than what we've had. So the Rashbam offers as the pshat. Don't let them fall asleep. Right? There's other things that it's a hekera. What the heck are you doing? You know, it's then it's just they should ask, but it's kadesh lo yishnu. It's literally they shouldn't fall asleep. So that's simply a question of catching their attention. It's actually preventing them from sleeping. In any event, Tanya amru alav al Rabbi Akiva miamav lo amar higia et laamod bebeit hamidrash chutz miarvei psachim ve'erev yom kippurim. He would never say time to stop learning, time to leave the Beit HaMidrash. Two times a year only he would do that. Erev Pesach b'shvil tinokot, k'day shelo yishnu. Because if you're going to end up staying late in shul, by the time you get home, get everything ready, go to daven, you'll come back, it'll already be late at night, you'll start your seder late, the kids will fall asleep. So therefore he helped make sure you get home early, get everything ready, and get a move on. Erev Yom Kippur, also, k'day shiachil et b'nehem, you go right into Yom Kippur. People will forget, they have to take care of the kids. You know, you're so busy doing your thing and so on, you have to make sure that kids also have plenty to eat. Tana Rabbanan, Chayav Adam L'Sameach B'Nav U'B'nei Bito B'Rega, Shnemer V'Samachta B'Chagecha. There is a chiyuv of simcha. That's interesting, because yesterday that's what Tosfos pointed out. What the Gemara was saying about Yidei Yayin Yatzah is that he's Yotze Simchas Yontov, even if he's not Yotze the Arba Kesei. So as we began the sugya of Yayin in terms of Simchas Yontov yesterday. Therefore comes along the Gemara to say there's indeed a mitzvah to be M'Sameach B'Yayin. Completely outside of the mitzvah of the Arba Kesach. Just as I should explain, the Havamina was that maybe the Chachamim were metaking the way to do some Chesyontif on Leil Psachim is bedafk with the Arba Kesach. Kamash Melon that not. Okay? But there's overall a mitzvah, B'Yudomer. You can't say a general rule to be Misameach B'Yayin, just as we said yesterday. What good is wine for kids? How are you going to be Misameach then? Therefore, Anashim Barot Wilahem. The men, what's good for them. Women, what they enjoy. Anashim barui lahem. Men like to drink. Nashim b'may, what would a woman enjoy? Tani Rav Yosef, it depends. In Bavel, they like to have those fancy, beautiful, multicolored dresses. So get them something, you know, something fancy. In Eretz Yisrael, they like the linen, you know, the well-pressed linen. So buy them big day pishtan meguatzim. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer Bizman Shebet HaMikdash Kayam Ein Simcha Ela BeBasar. Used to be when we were able to be Misameach with Basar that came from a Makor of Kedusha. It was part of a Korban. So there the Torah was Mechayivas to Vizavachta Shlamim V'achalta Sham V'samachta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. So you see that the Achila is directly related to the V'samachta. So if you're able to eat your korban shlamim, you're able to gain simcha through that achila. Achshav she'en beit hamikdash kayam, ein simcha ela b'yayin. Now we're left with the need to drink wine. Shenemar b'yayin yisamach levav enosh. It's an absolutely astonishing thing. It's not that basar is misameach, it's that basar shlamim is misameach. To stam eat basar doesn't give you the simcha that yayin gives you. So if you have basar that is a mocker of Avodas Hashem, and it comes from a shlamim, and you're fully involved in the sense of the meaning of eating meat, and it's part of the whole process of evolution and the complexity of life that grows from life of lesser complexity, it becomes a simcha, it's an experience. You're stam eating meat because you're hungry, it's not an experience of simcha. It may be satiating, but it's not simcha. Bashenkein, wine... Be'etzin has an effect of you on making you high, making you excited. So you're left with the physicality of drinking wine. But to say that that would be nothing in the time of Beis HaMikdash, what you would need is dafka to be the shlomim. It's an unbelievable thing. It's a double push by then. You know, well, obviously it's a different experience of eating the meat. It's not amazing. I mean, see, if they're saying v'achalta sham, so it's a giwa that eating meat is a simcha. No. Why would it be a gila eating meat as a simcha if it's talking about basar shlami? If you don't have basar shlami, what good is it going to do you to stam eat meat?
Why are we talking about shlami instead of korban pesach?
Korban pesach is shlami.
Oh, it's shlami.
Yeah.
But don't be saying.
That's oneg. There's no dinner simcha in Shabbos.
So that's not a Shabbos.
Yeah.
Don't be saying en simcha ela bevasar.
Basar v'yayin is basar shlami.
How come Yain has no din of having any sort of Makadish on it or any sort of?
Because it has the physical pool of creating Simcha by making you high.
So it's a physical property.
Yeah, it's presuming.
So Basar has no physical, according to
the Does it have the physical property? No, it has physical properties of Oneg, of Einari Noem, Elamito Chupa Shel Basar. It gives you a sense of, Ari the Lionhearted, where is he? And so on. Rabbi Yitzchak, getting back to our Revius that we were discussing, the Kosiyof and so on, you should know that the Kasta de Murisa, the Havi Betzipori, he Havi Min Luga de Migdasha, Uba Misharin of Yishal Pesach. You know the standard jar of fish bread that they sell in Tzipori? Of course you all know that. That contained the same amount that a lug contained in the Beit HaMikdash, and you can use that as a measurement in your Bureau of Weights and Measures for what is a lug. That was a lug. Well, the problem is, of course, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we don't have that. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tamanyata Kadmaita, Avi Betveria. Look, the old Tamanyata measurement in Tveria was larger than the current Tamanyata by precisely a revius halug. And therefore, what you can do is, if you can get hold of one of these, pour out the contents into the nowadays Tamanyata, and what's left will be exactly revius. We don't have either of those either, so we better get some other standards. Amr of Chista. So Chista gives us an absolute standard. Amr of Chista. Revi'it shel Torah. The revi'is midiraisa is, if you measure it in cubic etzba'ot, is etzba'ayim al etzba'ayim brum etzba'ayim v'chatzi etzba v'chomesh etzba. So it's exactly 2 by 2 by 2.7. So if you have that cube measured, an etzba is actually a thumb width, if you have that amount, then you have a 1 cubic revius.
Which is what you're using?
Thumb.
Mm-hmm. It's be different to different people, no?
Yeah, I mean, you may average it. This is what causes the big problem. This is where we get the whole problem with the tzlat, with the Noda B'Yuda. About the doubling of the eggs, because there's a contradiction in this measurement and the measurement of how much it's supposed to hold in terms of beitza. So the revius that's given here with measurements of the common etzba comes out to significantly more than what the shear of the beitza was, unless you say that maybe they had larger eggs. Of course, you could also say they had smaller etzbaot, which is more reasonable. But he goes through a number of rayas that couldn't be changes in the size of the etzba. But that's the question. Kidatanya, how do I derive this? First of all, you should know the whole braisa first tells us the concept of a mikvah. For achatz b'mayim et kol b'saros. First of all, it doesn't say v'rachatz b'mayim. It says v'rachatz b'mayim b'saro. What else are you going to be putting into the water? Your clothes. But that's the point. Your flesh has to be exposed to the water. So the first thing it's telling you, if it says you have to see to it that your own flesh is in the water, it means that there can't be something between your body and the water. Why does it say ba-mayim instead of bimayim? What's a particular water? It is indeed. Ba-mayim means b'mei mikvah. If it would be bimayim, so turn on the bathtub. Then it's b'mayim. You're saying b'mayim, it means that it had to already have been gathered naturally there, so that it is a functional mikvah. It's telling you can't stop me use mayim shuvim. So it's b'mayim mikvah. Et kol b'saro, what's the meaning of all of your flesh? I mean, obviously, what I would think when it says v'rachatz means only a part of you. But shailas, can you do it piece by piece? So it's telling you, you have to get your entire body underwater simultaneously. So it's mayim shekol gufo olebahem. The shear of a mikveh is a mikveh in which your entire body could be it completely submerged at once. The Kamahain, and therefore, based on this pasuk, what is the shir of a mikvah? Ama al ama, Ron shalosh amot. So it's actually the space of one ama by one ama in the height of three amot. So if you make a tube of that size, you can put a human being into that tube and it'll be completely underwater. Except, as Tosis points out, he won't be underwater because his head wouldn't be underwater, because the measurement of a body is indeed three amot, but the head adds another ama. So, I mean, this would work very well if we cut off his head before we put him in the mikveh, but then he wouldn't be tar. So Tosfos says it's not giving you the measurement of the container. It's giving you the measurement of the water. The container has to be higher, but if you put your body into it, the water will rise above your head. So if you have a larger container, you'll fit into a mikveh that holds water of one by one by three. Very cute. Okay, now what's important for us, what does it have to do with our revias? Because what's important is that the Chachamim worked out, Shiaru Chachamim, that a shir of a main mikveh is our boimsa. It's based on this. They wanted to let you know, okay, so lamaisa, I mean, I'm not interested in going under the water. I'm interested in putting my dishes under the water. I mean, so what's a mikveh? So a mikveh is a certain amount of water. So if I would make a theoretical mikveh based on this model of one by one by the three, how much water would I have in such a mikveh that now I can put however I want if I want to put my dishes in? The shear of the main mikveh, that would equal our boimsa. Since that equals our boimsa, therefore I know a revius is 2 by 2 by 2.7. Because what that equals 10 by 8... 10.8 square etzvot, cubic etzvot. Why is that? Because if you analyze the shear of one by, let's turn your ones into etzvot. You turn your ones one by one by three into etzvot, which is very simple. There's basically, you know, your six tvachim in each ama, and you have your etzva is one fourth of that tefach. Again, it means the thumb, it doesn't mean the fingers. So then it turns out, if you multiply that by your number of etzbaot, so you end up basically with, what does it work out to? 41,720 etzbaot. Okay? Square etzbaot. If you have now the shear of water, you want to do is you want to turn your sa'ah into revi'i talugs. Okay? So to turn your sa'ah into revi'i talugs is very simple, because you simply multiply the number, you have 40 sa'ah. Each one of those sa'ah basically equals 96 etzpa'ot, 96 revi'iot. Because you multiply by 6, then by 4, and then another 4, which is the number of revi'i talug. And then you multiply that by 40. So you get 96 is the number of revi'iot that you have in one sa'ah. Multiply that by 40, you end up with 3,840. So if you have 3,840, and now you divide that into the number of etzba'ot, it turns out that 10.8 equals 1 of the revi'iot. It's very simple. So based on, what do you mean? You know, it really is very simple. It doesn't matter if you follow precisely, but you understand that once I know that 3 by 3 amot is translatable into the number of etzba'ot, and I know that the sa'ah is translatable into revi'i salug, so it's simply a matter of doing, second grade arithmetic to figure out how much it is. I don't understand. Seriously, am I saying something so complicated? No. I mean, because they weren't used to the terminology, and they didn't have ways of really using the Arabic number system. So they weren't used to terminology of squares and cubes. So what the Rashbam does is he creates an actual matrix and a cube.
Like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Cuts up the cubes into actual pieces. And then shows you what the cube that would be the revius would be, and it turns out to be precisely the 2. That's better because it gives us 2 by 2 by 2.7. instead of simply saying 10.8. So, all right. Fine. Omer Ravashi. Ravashi said, you know, Ravin Bar Kinan pointed out to me that this would imply that the Shulchan shall migdash shall prakimav. It must have been that the Shulchan and the Beis HaMikdash could have been disassembled. Because if you couldn't disassemble it, there'd be no way of being tevel it. Because the mikveh in the Beis HaMikdash was precisely the minimal shear of the mikveh in order not to take up extra space from the Zorah. And since it says Beferish al Shulchan HaTahor, the Gemara Darshan's in Chagiga, that they used to actually have to be tevel it. So it must be that it could have been taken apart. Because if you think that it was all one unit, so how the heck could you possibly put the Shulchan inside of the mikveh if it was itself an Amah? So then how would an Amah fit into an Amah? Ech metabli. Understand, what do you mean? Why would you have to put it into that little mikveh? Why couldn't you put it in the Yam Shel Shlomo? My kushya dilma b'yam she'asa Shlomo av matfili. Ketani Rebchia, Yam she'asa Shlomo machzik 150 mikveh tara. If you figure out the size of the Yam Shel Shlomo as given, it turns out that it held 150 times 40 sar. So there's plenty of room to be tevel anything in the Yam Shel Shlomo. So this doesn't prove anything. Who says that they were tevel in the mikveh that they had for the Kohen Gadol? Doesn't make sense. So we drop that. V'lo yifchetulo mi'arba'a. Now the next piece in the Mishnah says, you've got to make sure afilu anish b'Yisrael, the previous thing that we said, lo yochal achi yasev. We've been talking about haseva, we've been talking about the arba kesays. And it says, even if he's eating mamish from tzedakah, you have to give him four kesays. But four kesays is not a good thing, is it? Nechim yitak d'rabonu midi sakana. How did the Rabbanan make a mitzvah of something that is dangerous? V'atanya lo yochal adam trei. Person should never eat anything by twos. If you eat something by twos, there's a lot of different... First of all, I have to know b'chlal. There's a major question that's still already from the time of the Gaonim, certainly between the Rambam and other Rishonim, whether there's any realistic basis to these superstitions and to the... concepts of shadim and so on. You know, zugos, all of these issues are sound to us very medieval, superstition, ridiculous. So generally, the Rambam's approach is that it's all, a function of your own mind. It's all ridiculous. And that, only idiots believe this stuff and believe astrology and believe stars have influence. It's all crazy. Magic means nothing.
But there is shadim. Didan itziar, didan...
He says no. He needs to be understood, but that's how people think. Anyway, they think the Rambam says stuff. It's all completely nonsensical. Lamaisa said there's some Gainim who say this also. All of this is just a response to people's belief system. And indeed, we'll see later on in the Sugya, it says, Man dechayish chashin alayin, man lo chayish lo chashin. Somebody believes in this stuff, so then it affects him. Remember Papa Doc controlled the whole country of Haiti, with his voodoo. It's unbelievable. Didn't need an army, didn't need anything. They're terrified. They just scared the natives out of their wits. If somebody did something against him, he would find one of these voodoo dolls on his and he would die the next day. That was normal. But there's a lot of other inyanim that have to do with zugot, because there are Kabbalistic inyanim and there's political inyanim. Zugot touches directly on the issue of the Eitz HaDaas. Because what Zugot, as long as you have an Eitz HaChaim, you don't live in a dualistic universe. In order to provide for Tov V'ra, all of a sudden everything is seen by the human mind in dualistic terms. So by buying into Zugot, it's as if you're buying into the nature of dualism. By twos. Yeah, because everything in life is by twos. In order to provide options. In an Eitz HaChaim world, there's no options. It's reality. Right? So you're already stating that you're committed essentially to the process of evil, and therefore it opens up all kinds of dinim against you and so on and so forth. Others learned that this very much was a function of the times, because remember that at the time of Poras, like the Gemara says, they used to have the religion, which there's Hormes and there's Harmonies, there's the upper part of life and the lower part of life, basically Zoroastrianism, you know, where they had the Kayach Elyonim, the Kayach HaTachtonim, and Gemara makes a lot of fun of it, you know, where one of the Tanaim said to one of these Zoroastrian priests, I just got one question. How does Hermes allow all that liquid from the top to come out through the bottom? Why does he allow the other guy's stuff to come into his part? But anyways, all of that is considered to be part of the Zugos issue. But then it becomes much more, you know, religious, political. And so you want to make a statement against the Zoroastrian dualism. You know? So they didn't do anything by Zugos. There's a lot of different ways of understanding it. But however we take it, let's just take the Gemara now, Kipshute. So the Gemara says a person should never drink by twos. If you're going to drink, you can have three cups. Don't take two cups, one cup. But don't take by twos. Lo yikaneach tre. He also shouldn't clean himself with twice. Velo yasetzrachav tre, and he shouldn't also engage in intercourse twice. Three times, fine. Once, fine, but not twice. Omrev Nachman, I'll tell you why it's not a problem. Four kosot, although it's zugot, is we're not open to attack by these forces of darkness, because it says Leil Shimuri. Leil Shimuri means that the Leil Pesach is a Laila Meshumer Abam in Amasikin. Therefore, the Rabbanim B'dafka want to show you it's all garbage. Don't think about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the world, and everything is fine. It's like we do the Shvoch Hamas Chalagon. We've opened up the doors B'dafka. We open up the doors in order to show that it's a Leil Shimuri. We're not afraid to open our door wide in the middle of the night. So why should we be chayish? On the contrary, it's a good thing to do. So you bedafka have zugas because we're not chayish with zugas. Rava says the general rule is that kos shel bracha, because it's mocker is bracha, that's the kos of brachas hamazon, can only be mitzarif letova. Meaning, in other words, let's say you had two cups of wine before benching. So now the kosher bracha will make it three. So it's not duals. If you had three, the kosher bracha is eno mitztarif l'ra'a. Then it stands on its own. Because since it's be'etzem bracha, it only can do well, good for you. It can't do ra for you. Ravina says, it's a mistake to view the arba kosos as being dualistic. Because each one stands for different mitzvah. So they don't combine as a group. You have arba kasa takin rabbanan, but that's because of the derech eros, not because of the value of four. Each one of them, kol chad v'chad, mitzvah ba b'nafsha. Each one of them, basically, is a separate mitzvah. And therefore, it must be that it stands on its own, by definition. So there's no zugot here at all. But wait, you said lo yaseh trachav trei. You shouldn't have intercourse twice in a row. Why not? By definition, anything that you do that is not part of a process is not considered to be zugot. Let's say you had one cup of wine. And you stop drinking. Make your bracha achrayim. All of a sudden you think, maybe I'll have another one. That's not called zugot. Because there's nothing to connect the first with the second. So in intercourse, by definition, you're not turned on to sleep with someone again. Unless you get turned on again. But that's nimlach. So it's always going to be nimlach. Once you're talking about sex, you're always talking about nimlach. So ask the Gemara, how could it be that it would be mitztarev? Nimlachu. You changed your mind, basically. You weren't planning, but this is what you're doing. Omar Abai, you're right. You're reading it wrong. Hachikama. The meaning was lo yochal tre. Don't eat two cupcakes. Velo yishtetre. Don't drink two cups of wine. And then go and have intercourse. That's what it means. V'lo yaset zrachav. Subsequently, afilu pamachat. Diomachole shumisra. What do you want? You want to get a heart attack? So, in other words, the sexual activity is viewed as an opening to overstraining yourself. And because of that, since you're in a bad matzev, because you've already made yourself endangered by eating these two cupcakes. Boy, they were really mocking our cholesterol. He says, you ate two cupcakes. You have to watch out what you're going to do. Okay. Let's do our... Tanya Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Chotvim Matzot, Belel Psachim Mishvetino Kotchelo Yishnu, Yishalu. Tanya, Omer, if Kadesh Yishalu would be the other approach, right? If it means moving the table away. So then it's Kadesh Yishalu, not Kadesh Shalu Yishnu. Tanya Omer Lava Rabbi Akiva, Mi Amav Lo Amar Giyah, Et Lamod Bebeit HaMidrash, Chutz Mi Arve Psachim, Arve Yom HaKippurim, Erev Pesach, Shur Tanokot, Kedesh Shalu Yishnu, Erev Yom HaKippurim, Kedesh Shiyach Ilut Beneihem. Tanu Rabbanat Chai, Vodem Nesameyach, Bona Vemnei Beito Berega, Shalom Rav Samachta, Bechagecha, Bema Mesamcham, Biyayin. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Anashim Baro Ilayim, Anashim Baro Ilayim, Anashim Baro Ilayim, Biyayin, Anashim Bemait, Anu Mevyasi, Bebava, Bebigdei Tzivonim, Beret Yisrael, Bebigdei Pishtan, Megoatzim. Tani, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Betira, Omer, Bezman, Shbeit HaMikdash, Kayyam, Ein Simcha, Ela Bebasar, Shem, Vezavach, Tashlamim, Veachar, Tasham, Vesamach, Lefnei Hashem, Elokecha, Akshav, Shein, Beit HaMikdash, Kayyam, Ein Simcha, Ela Biyayin, Shem, Veyayin, Yisamach, Lava, Venosh. Omer, Yitzchak, Kast, Demuris, Davi, Betzipurin, He Havik, Min Luga, the Mikdash, Uba, Mesharin, Levi, Yishal, Pesach. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Tmaniyata Kadmaita Davi Bitveria, Avi Yetera Alda, exactly by one Revius, Uba Misharin Revius Shal Pesach. Om Revchista, Revius Shal Torah, Etzbaim al Etzbaim, Brom Etzbaim, Vachatzi Etzbaim, Vachomech Etzbaim. Kidetanya, Vrachat Bamaim et Kol Besaro, Shlo Yedavar Chotzeitz, Bin Besaro Lomai, Bamaim Bimim Mikva, et Kol Besaro Maim Shiko Gufo, Olebehem. The Kamahain Amalama, Brom Shalashamod, Shiruch HaFamim, Shiur Meim Mikva, Arba'im Sa'a. Omer Rashi, Omer Li Ravi, Barachinu Nashulchan, Shal Migda, Shal Prokim Havi. Disar Kedai Lechaduki Havi Ma'adek, Amta Ba'amta Hechamat Belinan. My question, do you mean Yamsha Sa Shlomo Havi Ma'atulay? Tatani Rebchia, Yamsha Sa Shlomo Ma'asik Me'av HaFamishim, Mikve Ta'ara. Lo Yifchitu Lo Mi'arba'a, Hechim Etakne Rabbonu Mili Da'ati Ba'al Lidei Sakana. V'atanya Lo Yuchal Adam Trey, V'lo Yishte Trey, V'lo Yikaneak Trey, V'lo Yaseh Tzrachav Trey. Omrim Nachman Amar Kral, Lo Shem Uri, Laila Meshum Ruba Min HaMezikin. Rav Amar, Kosha Barakha, Zon Mitztarif L'Tova, Zon Mitztarif L'Ro. Vino Amar, Arba'a Kasi, Takin Rabbonu Derech Eruz, Bat Kol Chad V'chad Mitzvah Achin Afshu. Lo Yaseh Tzrachav Trey, Amai Nimlachu. Omra Ba'ei Ha'achi Ka'amar. Lo yochal trei, v'lo yishte trei, and then yaseh tzrachav, afilu pam achat, yom achalish umitra. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer omer chotvim matzot, b'lel psachim yishvetino kot shelo yishnu, v'yishalu. Tanya omer, if kedeshi yishalu would be the other approach, right? If it means moving the table away. So then it's kedeshi yishalu, not kedeshi shelo yishnu. Tanya Omer Lava Rabbi Akiva, Mi Amav Lo Amar Giyah, Et Lamod Bebeit HaMidrash, Chutz Mi Arvei Psachim, Arvei Yom HaKippurim, Erev Pesach, Shur Tanokot, Kedei Shalo Yishnu, Erev Yom HaKippurim, Kedei Shiyach Ilut Beneihem. Tanu Rabbanat Chai, Vodem Nesameyach, Bona Vemnei Beito Berega, Shalom Rav Samachta, Bechagecha, Bema Mesamcham, Biyayin. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Anashim Baro Ilayim, Anashim Baro Ilayim, Anashim Baro Ilayim, Biyayin, Anashim Bemait, Anu Mevyasi, Bebava, Bebigdei Tzivonim, Beret Yisrael, Bebigdei Pishtan, Megoatzim. Tani, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Betira, Omer, Bezman, Shbeit HaMikdash, Kayyam, Ein Simcha, Ela Bebasar, Shem, Vezavach, Tashlamim, Veachar, Tasham, Vesamach, Lefnei Hashem, Elokecha, Akshav, Shein, Beit HaMikdash, Kayyam, Ein Simcha, Ela Biyayin, Shem, Veyayin, Yisamach, Lava, Venosh. Omer, Yitzchak, Kast, Demuris, Davi, Betzipurin, He Havik, Min Luga, the Mikdash, Uba, Mesharin, Levi, Yishal Pesach. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Tmaniyata Kadmaita Davi Bitveria, Avi Yetera Alda, exactly by one Revius, Uba Misharin Revius Shal Pesach. Om Revchista, Revius Shal Torah, Etzbaim al Etzbaim, Brom Etzbaim, Vachatzi Etzbaim, Vachomech Etzbaim. Kidetanya, Vrachat Bamaim et Kol Besaro, Shlo Yedavar Chotzeitz, Bin Besaro Lomai, Bamaim Bimim Mikva, et Kol Besaro Maim Shiko Gufo, Olebehem. Vekamahin Amalama, Brom Shalosh Amod, Shiruch HaFamim, Shiur Meim Mikva, Arba'im Sa'a. Omer Rashi, Omer Li Ravi, Barachinu Nashulchan, Shal Migda, Shal Prokim Havi. Disar Kedai Lechaduki Havi Ma'adek, Amta Ba'amta Hechamat Belinan. My question, do you mean Yamsha Sa Shlomo Havi Ma'atulay? Tatani Rebchia, Yamsha Sa Shlomo Ma'asik Me'av HaMishim, Mikve Ta'ara. Lo Yifchitu Lo Mi'arba'a, Hechim Etakne Rabbonu Mili Da'ati Ba'al Lidei Sakana. V'atanya Lo Yuchal Adam Trey, V'lo Yishte Trey, V'lo Yikaneach Trey, V'lo Yaseh Tzrachav Trey. Omrim Nachman Amar Kral, Lo Shem Uri, Laila Meshum Ruba Min HaMezikin. Rav Amar, Kosha Barakha, Zon Mitztarif L'Tov, Zon Mitztarif L'Ro. Vino Amar, Arba'a Kasi, Takin Rabbonu Derech Eruz, Bat Kol Chad V'chad Mitzvah Achin Afshu. Lo Yaseh Tzrachav Trey, Amai Nimlachu. Om Rabbi Yehachi Ka'amar. Lo yochal trei, v'lo yishte trei, and then yaseh tzrachav, afilu pam achat, yom achalish umitra.